Welcome to Upchuck Theater. We watch the nonsense so you don't have to. With Dustin Hummel, Rob Mikowski, and Aaron Krieger, we spare no film on our vomitous scale. Come waste an hour or so of your life so you don't waste another one. Sit back, relax, and throw up.
Minneapolis, we are currently heading 0.
Open the door in the plane.
My God. Jesus, down.
My God.
Down.
It's a film of a movie from a plane.
25. We are going down.
It was the end.
And they're pretty calm for it going down.
Yeah. And then Scott Bakula in Quantum Leap.
Or was it?
Or was it?
Walk towards the light.
What unusual facts have you developed in your investigation?
This crash has been crazy from the start.
Is there anything odd?
It's going backwards. I'm afraid I still don't know what you're driving at.
I'm simply looking for the inexplicable. I usually find it.
You're endangering a project that's bigger than you can imagine.
Damn well, we can't change the past.
Time travels. They don't want to be found.
Then you are from the future.
About 1,000 years.
Sherman, send the gate.
No, she did.
Once in 1,000 years comes an adventure like this.
We've been expecting you.
Millennium.
Nonsense. Ugh.
You know, I'd better watch the trailer. I wouldn't watch this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm real glad we did.
Yeah. Good. Good pick, man. This is Rob's pick. Upchuck Theater number 20. Millennium 1989. Chris Christopherson. Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd's for dads.
Bunch of nonsensical actors in gimp suits and robot suits and quadriplegic wheelchair. Yeah, it's something, all right. Where did you find this one, Robbie?
Interesting story. So years ago, this was out. This was back when I was, like, you know, going to my local B&K Video when VCRs were around.
Right.
Of course, that's showing my age now, but whatever. So anyways, so check it out. So we'd always, like, me and my ex-girlfriend, we'd always rent these really silly, like, sci-fi movies, you know, like DEFCON 4 and, you know, Saturn 5, but that's actually a good movie, but all these, like, crazy, like, weird, kind of silly movies. So we saw this one, we're like, oh, that was pretty cool, right? It's, like, the other age of the VCR. So I started watching it, and it has, like, plane crash stuff. And I got about to the point where they had, like, the bodies in the hangar, and I had to turn it off, because, you know, I don't like flying, and that kind of, like, freaked me out. So I've not watched it ever since past that point. So then I saw it was on Netflix. I put it in my queue. I figured, well, I'm going to try and watch this later on in life. And then I thought to myself, oh, no, you guys need to see this one, too, with me. You got to watch this with me.
Oh, boy.
That was great.
Yeah, you picked the winner, man. I could tell within the first 3 minutes.
Well, it was the Chris Christopherson, probably, right?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, after the plane crash, because that's where this thing starts out, and it turns into a plane crash of a movie pretty damn quick after that.
I wish I had been on that plane. Yeah.
So, yeah, the plane crash, is that the one that takes place? That's modern day, 1989.
The people aboard Flight 35 are about to land 1,000 years from where they plan to.
Oh, God, yeah. Well,
that's
there you go.
Tagline.
Is it really?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, before they can land where they're supposed to, they get
sideswiped by another plane.
And the thing's like overhead, as you could hear from the trailer. He's like, oh, God!
Go down.
Oh, man. And then
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, right. We're introduced to NTSB worker Chris Christopherson.
They're dead. Yeah. All of them.
They're burned up. And, he comes and surveys the wreckage and
Mr. Smith, Bill Smith.
Bill Smith is his character.
That is a terrible character name. That's right. Very, like, generic.
It's like John Doe. Yeah. John Doe, Bill Smith, Jack Crawford.
James Drum.
James Drum.
Can you imagine Buffalo Bill in this movie?
Oh, my God. Well, that would have been more entertaining.
Would you? get in a plane.
Is there a great big plane crash? Yeah. Okay.
Well, the stretchy face people. Like,
oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it was weird. There's just a lot of things in this movie that were off, but
sci-fi.
Oh my God. I mean, I could just tell from Kris Kristofferson's delivery that we were in for a long hour and what was it? Hour and 48 minutes?
Yeah, 108 minutes.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, he's been such a great actor in so many other movies.
Yeah, you know, fresh off the successes of Big Top Pee-wee and everything else he's been doing. Yeah, right. Oh God!
Blade.
Well, somebody decided that he was a good leading man. Unfortunately, who is the director? Michael Anderson.
Michael Anderson.
And what else has Michael Anderson?
Michael
done?
Anderson is 97 years old. Whoa.
Holy shit!
Good is he him. The? Is he the little guy from Twin Peaks? Whoa! Wait, no. Around the World in 80 Days, Logan's Run.
Okay. I
love that movie.
Ugh, of course you don't. Yeah,
the Dam Busters.
Logan's Run, in which we serve the Dam Busters, the Shoes of the Fishermen.
Oh, good.
Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze, Logan's Run, Orca, Sword of Gideon, the Martian Chronicles.
Oh, Jesus.
All the Fine Young Cannibals, the Yangtze Incident.
She drives me crazy.
He's been married 3 times. Surprisingly, all of his wives are like dead.
Oh, because
he's 97.
Right.
Well, no, Vera Carlisle is 1935. She's still going.
There's one child. And his son, Michael Anderson Jr., is an actor.
5 children with the Betty Jordan.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Jesus.
He directed a lot of movies, well, and then he did this one.
This was the beginning of the end, obviously, from him. NTSB worker Bill Smith is called onto the scene after this hellacious crash to survey the wreckage, and something seems familiar. And then we're kind of reintroduced to this scene about a half hour later, because we see Cheryl Ladd in a, what was she like? In a,
this is why we can't do time travel movies.
Well, yeah, I don't even
get lost.
I got lost. I don't know what happened. Like, this is where I kind of zoned out.
Well, I'm going to call you out right now. You zoned out through the whole movie.
I did. Really paying attention like, at all.
I wasn't. Well, you know.
Well, it's a terrible movie.
He's so, like, he's walking there, and then they have flight attendants from the airline serving coffee to, like, the wreckage crew. Plain coffee, peanuts, dead body, watch. And she sees him.
Peanut.
And
peanut?
And he sees her with this tray of coffee, and he's like, hey, how about some coffee? And she's like, yeah, and then she runs out.
Oh, yeah, right. And then the next scene, he's listening to the wreckage tapes.
Damn it, I'm listening to the film.
Well, he doesn't even get that far. He gets, he's like, oh, it's you.
Damn it, I'm listening.
I will take a coffee, cream and sugar,
I'll
please.
I'll take a coffee.
Yeah.
She gave it to him, though. Did they have cream and sugar in them?
No, I don't think so.
They're just black?
Nah, it was just, generic shit coffee that she just dumped right in front of him. Here, you drink. There's this little, knowing glance afterwards. And now this is where I got lost again. Oh, surprise. Shock. But they're going down the escalator in the terminal. And they're heading outside, and he's in his Salvation Army coat. And then she comes up behind him, and she's riding the escalator, and it stops. And
he grabs a handful of
egg cup. Right.
But you're not told why until later.
Right.
Well, no, we're not told why until later, but they're stuck there overnight. Doesn't he, live nearby? Like, why?
They go back to a hotel.
He's like, she's like, I guess we're going to be stuck here for a while. I'm like, well, what the fuck does that mean?
Because she confuses an escalator with an elevator.
Oh, okay. Was she talking about the escalator? Because that was...
Very obvious.
I just thought that they were, like, they had a flight that was canceled or something, and she was going to be the stewardess.
Here, Dustin, let me help you. let me help you out.
Oh, yeah, please, she had a real job.
Let me help you out. I don't want to ruin those. Like, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. This whole thing's a spoiler.
The sooner the better.
So she's from the future, Dustin.
I got that.
All right, so
they don't, I don't think you did.
I did a half hour later.
Hold on, she's from like 1,000 years in the future, so they don't have elevators.
Oh, I see.
So she confused elevator with escalator.
Right. Yeah.
That's the only thing I come up with.
No, no, that's fine. That's fine. Well, flash forward to the hotel anyway.
I implied that because like he wasn't going anywhere because he has to look at more like dead bodies.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Stuck here anyways.
And I'm stuck here serving you coffee for the next 3 weeks while you're looking at Rick's.
Yeah. Peanuts, Kind Bars, Coke products, Starbucks coffee.
Pillow.
They don't give you pillows anymore.
They don't.
Cheap fucks.
I don't fly.
No. This was the United Airlines flight. So yeah, they go
flash forward to the hotel.
Yeah, flash forward to the hotel, and they've obviously had sex because we see a shirtless Kris Kristofferson.
What they have doesn't
sex.
I'm not gonna lie, the way you said sex is funny.
Sex, yeah, lots of sex.
Sex.
And the sex, was so good with half-tanned Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, like chest-tanned but arm-untanned Kris Kristofferson.
He looked horrible.
No, wait. Can we talk for a minute when him and Cheryl Ladd were making out and the pain look on his face?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Well, because she just laid there. Yeah.
And he did a 90-degree tilt of his head while she sucked on his mustache.
Yeah,
in the flashback, she laid there, but at the first time in their hotel room, like the look on his face, it looked like it was like painful.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it was bad. And she got a mouthful of mustache and that was it. And then they had sex. we flash forward to the next morning, and she's having a cigarette, and they're talking now about the what are they talking about?
Sex,
and they're talking. They're talking about the whole wreck thing, and she's like, "Don't go."
Well, wait a minute, though.
Oh no!
Wait a minute, because she was skulking around.
That's right.
And with the phone. And I like to cancel the 6:30 a.m. wake up.
Oh yeah, right.
And he's like, Damn it, I missed it. And the damn wake up call didn't happen. She's just like laying there in his shirt.
It's horrible. But then she gets up and she sits in that like really nice pose with the
She's like in whatever. What's that yoga pose?
And she sits in like
cat pose or whatever.
Sucking sit or whatever. she's like, she like sits up and everything up to her neck is attractive. And then it looks like a giraffe climbing for the high. But, like her breasts were just so well taped to that shirt.
Yeah. Well, she had it half open. His Brooks Brothers.
Yeah, double-sided tape. Rob found double-sided tape the other day. It exists.
Perfect. So, so then she's like, don't go. And he's like, we'll talk about this later.
I might not be there later.
And he's like, And so he gets about halfway down the hall and he comes back. And Rob, you called it.
Why does he come back?
Well, I don't know. Like maybe like he wants to say something like, I love you or something.
He's wanting to walk to work.
I love you.
I mean, like
be ready for more sex later. And no, but Rob called it because as soon as he opened up the door, and went inside, she was gone.
Boom, gone. Poof.
So
we called a lot of things in this movie.
Oh yeah. You called a couple of lines verbatim.
Oh shit.
It's gonna be one of those. So he's befuddled and he starts calling her name, which is Louise. Louise.
Baltimore.
Mr. Smith goes to Baltimore. I went to Baltimore.
That's great.
So we see that he's calling for Louise, and is this where we get the interdimensional gate overlook now?
Interdimensional gape?
Yeah, they go into the gape.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they show the
and she's future. She's sitting there with hairless Christopher Reeve. And he's just looking in and talking. He's like talking to Louise, and we find out that she's this David Bowie looking thing that's looking in through the looking guest. Yes, the Papadou. And
boy,
and that kicks in high gear into what this movie is all about.
And then her and two other like gender neutral people.
Yeah. Well, one like who is very borderline.
they're like in front of these mirrors, like they're doing a bad community theater version of like a chorus line.
Right.
And they're like, oh, this is the fun part. Look at my wig. Look at my wig. Look at my wig. And then, so their whole existence is dressing up as flight attendants to crash planes.
Right.
You forgot about the part where she tells Sherman that his mother was a cash register.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Well, but she's got this robot.
Yeah.
This personal robot called
blood,
Sherman.
With this robot with bloodshot drunk eyes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Robot.
They went to Ace Hardware and they put this thing together. This thing was horrible looking.
Ace is the place.
Yeah, Ace is the place.
Hardware man.
So, yeah, so they got this this Sherman guy talking in this robot. Monotone robot.
And, you will not do. No. And there's Cheryl no place Ladd. For me back there. No, you're a fucking toaster.
Right, and Cheryl Ladd tries to get at him and say, oh, your mother was a cash register. He's like, well, she was paid well. Or some nonsense.
She turned a good Tinder.
She turned a good profit.
Tinder. Yeah, there you go.
Tinder a good
profit. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. My mother was a cash register at Whole Foods.
Java fuck you, Java.
Java update. Yeah, Java update. Yeah.
So, so now they're getting ready in their community theater dressing rooms for the next crash, which takes place in 1963.
Ha ha.
Well, you forgot about plot element.
Oh, plot element.
The time quakes.
Right, yep. Right.
Paradox quakes.
Right, well, she's got to go back.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's the whole thing. Like this is the thing. Quato tells her.
Yeah, you got to go back and write this nonsense that happened in 1969.
Because otherwise we get...
Otherwise we turn...
Paradox quakes.
Right. Time quake. Right. What's a time quake?
Well, you saw it. It's just somebody jiggling the camera really, really fast.
So everyone looks like Michael J. Fox then?
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what Beetlejuice in the wheelchair looked
low
like.
Low blow.
Okay. Oh, that's a low blow.
That's a very low blow. Listen, he can't help that he's doing the jitterbug every day of his life.
Shaking that stirred. So...
James Bounce.
Look, I'm making the reference because he was in a time travel movie, and this is a time travel movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was a completely
it's
valid
reference. It's your kids, Marty!
It's your kids!
Completely Marty. Valid reference.
Marty! He's in a wheelchair! He's got no hair!
What's the opposite of Christopher Reeves?
Christopher Walken.
Okay.
Or just alive, I guess, at this point.
All right, so back to the movie. Time quakes keep happening in the
So they
got to
write this paradox that happened in 1969 where young Bill Smith just so happens to be on the flight that, you know, caused the whole paradox.
No, it's Dr. Mayer, right?
No,
Bill, I think Bill it's young Bill.
Yeah, Bill was the guy.
Because they bring it up later on because Bill says something about...
He remembers being on the play.
He brings it up to Mayer, and Mayer's like, yes.
Yeah, no, but wait a minute. In 1963...
Uh-huh.
Dr. Mayer's on the flight, and that's why he has the thing.
That was Bill.
No, Dr. Mayer, because he has the piece, and he's always had the piece.
But how does Bill remember the flight then?
Yeah, I thought because Bill was...
On a mission to 1963, a time travel operative boards a plane before it crashes, losing the stun weapon. The weapon winds up in the possession of Dr. Mayer, and that's why he's been working it out for 25 years.
Maybe little
Smith,
Bill will give it to him.
Right, Smith finds the other...
25 years later, Smith finds the other piece in the wreckage.
Okay.
Whatever.
It's nonsense.
And that's why Dr. Mayer's been on this quest...
Dr. Mayer's a real weird character.
Because he kept asking him remember they had the press conference?
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone's asking, you know.
Did you find anything?
Well, everyone's asking Bill Smith, like, basic, you know, questions.
You know, do you know why this happened? He comes in here and he's like, and he keeps getting closer and closer to the podium. Like, I thought he was going to be, like, right in front of Bill's face in the next shot because he was just walking.
You gotta Oswald him.
Yeah.
Jack Rubium.
Oh, yeah. Like, he just keeps coming closer and closer and he gets weirder and weirder. He's like, I don't know.
He's a dorky version of Roy Scheider.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So he's asking him questions. You know, do you find anything interesting?
Right.
Because he knows. Yeah.
He knows what happened.
And then we're told, like in the beginning of that, remember when the way they set up all the bodies.
Yeah.
And all the wreckage in the gymnasium.
Right.
Where the high school dance was taking place in 2 days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a dance in two days.
Days.
All the balloons.
So he's. The future warriors are on their 1963 mission to go write this paradox. And so, like, but here they're zapping. Zapping everybody.
Yeah, they're, like, knocking them out.
Knocking them out with the stun gun. Something. Or whatever. And she's in first class. Spray, right, Ram? Right, yep. Yeah. Louise is in first class, you know, getting the last guy, gives him a pillow, and then shoots him in the back of the neck with the stun gun. And then she goes back, and there's a nutbag on there with a gun
who says, "I will blow the plane!"
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It's exactly what it is. And he's like, "You take me to see the captain! And no one will get hurt." And she's like, "Sir, you can't fire that in here. This is a pressurized cabin." And so she takes it in the gut. The other Time Warrior gets shot in the gut. And I thought she was just going to, like, laugh at him because it didn't even seem she was in pain or something. Yeah. Be like,
well, that's what she put it into her belly.
Right.
She's a Time Warrior.
Right.
Time Warrior.
So Louise, like, charges her stun gun to full force and knocks this guy out.
And that left a hole.
Right.
That was huge.
Right.
It looked like the Predator when he blows up Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
When his shoulder cannon goes through Jesse Ventura.
There's a lot of velocity in that shot. So now I get young Dr. Mayer is looking at the shot victim, and she's like cradling her in his arms, and he's like getting over. He's like, "What's wrong with her?" And like she gets shot. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, go to sleep, and then she shoots him in the temple.
Shoots him in the temple.
I called that.
You go to sleep.
You did. Yeah, that's true.
Then we see the team of Ghostbusters come into the plane, and they start taking everybody.
Move along.
Taking them off and replacing them with dupes.
Yeah. Dupes. They put the cigarette in the one guy's mouth.
Yeah, right.
Sunglasses.
The pod people.
Oh, God. So, yeah, they're duping everybody and putting them back in the plane. And then Louise gets off, and then here we find out that the paradox still hasn't been righted. And then come that we relive the first 20 minutes again because wheelchair guy says, "No, you met this guy before." And he's like, she's like, no, I haven't. And you know,
yeah, she doesn't remember doing it.
She doesn't remember it. Like, yeah, right. She doesn't remember having sex. So, you know, then the next thing we know.
It's a time paradox.
Right. So it's
time paradox for time her paradox. Then, too, because she doesn't...
She gets sent back down.
Hate this movie.
In her stewardess outfit.
We are great with time travel movies.
This is horrible. So basically everything that we just recounted happens again, except we see it from Louise's point of view, and we get the interstitial of him whining and dining her.
Yeah, but we also get to see her magic bag. And I'm not talking
her magic bag.
And the smoking, and she smokes all the time because something about our atmosphere is toxic to her.
Yeah.
So Sherman's like, you didn't smoke enough, Louise.
Oh, yeah, she comes back and she's coughing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's
that makes
good.
Sense.
Sure, as everything in this movie does.
Wait, remember this? You remember the scene with the three stewardesses in 1963? They're smoking the blunt.
They were getting ripped, and then So it all happens again, and then they go out to dinner, and we have this weird scene of where she's like gulping down scotch. She's what else does she do that he's
she
like,
throws the cigarette.
Oh, throws the cigarette.
Because she expects it to get zapped because get zapped in the future.
So Chris Christopherson is like enamored with her. He's like, "You don't do things like other girls."
Because she bites the bottom of the apple.
She bites the bottom of the apple in the hotel, which is supposed to be erotic, but it turns out to be just nonsense. And then they slowly start disrobing.
She kisses him, and he's like, "Maybe this was a mistake," because she didn't like drop.
Right.
She doesn't like drop to her knees immediately after massaging his crow's feet. You know, and then she's like, "No, try it again. I have to have this work.
On your mustache.
I have to make this work.
Yeah, I have to make it work."
So and then she goes at it.
Go at it. All right. They have sex, and they wake up the next morning.
What's that?
They have sex. Which again,
Aaron, you get it right. I mean, you hear it, right?
Oh yeah. It's the X.
Yeah, it's sex. The way he does it. It's hilarious.
So they wake up the next morning and
after.
And now again, she goes through the whole motions, and again she tells him not to leave, and he's like, "Oh, we'll talk about this later." And then again she leaves.
But we see that the everlasting gobstopper there, the time gape.
Right, the time gape.
It makes the bed.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, the magical time gate.
It flash forwards.
flash forward.
No, I'm, you think about it. Probably
no, it's, what you're it right. You're probably it right.
Probably flash
within,
forward.
Within the contained, yeah. Yeah.
After housekeeping comes.
After housekeeping.
Yep. Yeah, right. So she fast forwards, and now what happens now? Bill is...
They start watching him on the hologram.
Right, right.
And he's in front, and then like it keeps fast forwarding through time. So he's called back to wherever he works. They're basically telling him to get off their lawn about this case. He's trying to rebuild the 747. Right, right.
Because he knows something's wrong, but he doesn't know what he's looking for.
Right.
He won't be able to find out until he rebuilds the plane.
Right, the entire plane. So then they call him back to Washington piece or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and then they basically take him off of it, and then we're just kind of set plunked at Dr. Mayer's door, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, we go to Mayer's door. And Mayer's there.
And it looks like Anthony Perkins in Psycho.
Right.
From the back, it's an old woman.
Yeah, he's got this really weird sweater on. And they go in.
The sweat
and,
again.
Well, right.
The what?
And
the
Bill,
sweat again.
The
and Bill.
Is that what they're called?
And, yeah, right.
I don't.
I'm going to go with it.
I don't know. We're not sweater people.
Puff Chuckers, let us know if they're.
Are you a sweater guy, Dustin? Sweat you're again. A sweater guy, aren't you?
I wear sweater vests. I do.
Oh, my God.
I do.
God.
I think they're nice and stylish. I don't like full-on sweaters, but I like sweater vests.
Well, let's be honest. I mean,
what's wrong with that?
You're a lot.
Probably, yeah. Well, you're probably the only person that could probably pull it off out of the three of us.
I bet I could have sex wearing them.
Christy?
With Cheryl Ladd, I mean.
Sex.
On the next episode of Upjack Theater, Dustin wears only sweater vests.
Dustin now is single. And
we're going to do that for our first YouTube episode. We're all going to wear sweater vests.
No.
I won't. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
You can. Go ahead. I won't.
Fair enough.
I don't do things the way that other people do them, Rob.
That's true. So here's Smith and Mayer are having a discussion, and Bill's trying to get more answers from Mayer because he thinks Mayer knows the answers to, you know, the time travel nonsense. And
I've been searching for 25 years.
Right, right. And this is where he produces the artifact. And
the part that he has.
They both have a part.
Right. So Mayer has the initiator. And Bill has
the penetrator.
The penetrator, yeah, there you go. That's a good word for it.
The double-ended stun gun.
Yeah, so he pulls it out, and he's like, yes, that's what I, you know, that's it. And then they start talking about the 1963 flight.
And Bill says he was on the plane.
I thought he did.
Well, he says, at some point, he says, I remember a flight, but it was Mayer on that plane.
Okay. Okay.
But Smith does say something like, I remember a flight, I remember something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you're right, yeah.
Because Mayer's been looking for the answer for 25 years.
Right, right. Time travel movies.
So that's...
But no, wait a minute. But that actually does bring up a good point, because Bill does say, I remember a flight, I remember a kid, or like being a kid, I remember the stewardess. I don't... Maybe what it is that he's also been a survivor.
Right.
One of these.
Yeah, okay.
And that but they just don't show it.
Well, because Louise, she says something. She's like, no, he's the survivor. Remember in the plane? Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay.
Well, oh, yeah, you're right.
Who the hell is that?
But remember, Dr. Mayer already has a piece. And he doesn't find his piece until in the wreckage.
In the wreckage,
and so the kid on board that plane found it there.
On the other one, yeah.
So that's Dr. Right. Mayer, and it's 1963 because she's seeing all the stuff with Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe.
Right. So Louise...
It's all dumb. Right, okay,
So Louise slides in from the future through the gate. And,
through the pulsating ovum.
From the,
the time gate.
Yeah, she comes in, and then it's...
And then her and Christofferson basically start fucking.
Yeah, right, like right in front of Mayer, which now Mayer is ready to... put the two pieces together, which Louise is like, no!
And so is Louise and Bill.
Well, right, yeah, they're ready to put
like in front
the initiator and the penetrator.
I was just waiting for him to shoot her. Well, that would have been a better ending.
That would have been a better ending. But instead he gets,
zapped.
Like, electrocuted by this thing. And...
again, we have a time quake, and here Louise is...
But this one, he wasn't supposed to die for 6 more years!
Yeah, right. And then we have this
AIDS!
We have this nonsense where Bill and Louise are arguing about, let me come with you. And, you know, no. And then she lets him come with her, and she's like, hold on.
Watch the first step!
It's a killer.
It's a killer! No. Then they get in, and there's Sherman waiting, like...
You brought back a penis,
Bill, I presume. And then so they're in this otherworldly dimension. They see wheelchair boy and
the infinity force time quake.
Yeah, right. And now the time quakes.
The quake of quakes.
Yeah, the quake, the nuclear quake. It starts going on, and then Christopher Reeve, he takes it upon himself to...
Rotates the gate
or whatever. And says...
The CD player there.
Right. So that what does that do? It reverses the gate so they can escape or something?
It opens a bigger gate or something.
Okay. Yeah,
we didn't even touch on Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's face.
Yeah. Cerebro.
Oh, dear.
And
Ed Gein.
So there are these, like, what, five?
And the brain with the two eyeballs.
Yeah, so there are, what, like, five... Just people or things in pods.
Yeah, in these pods.
And they're like the council.
The time council.
And they're like the wise council that talks about like preventing paradoxes. Because that's all this future society exists for is to prevent paradoxes.
Well, she's terrible at her job. I mean, Cheryl Ladd is just horrible at doing this.
I agree.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is that like the Earth is like what, dead, and because there's too much pollution,
they can't have kids.
All sperm turns out with like foreheads, and like you know, and so nobody has kids.
They mention that too because they tell her that you've gone back twice and you've lost both pieces twice.
Oh, you have.
Yeah, because she's terrible at her job.
Yep. Oh yeah,
and, you know.
But so, Sherman makes mention of how much she's pampered in the future.
Oh, yeah,
how well
yeah.
she's taken care of.
Well, because she's healthy.
The healthy people
get fed.
Right.
And the rest of them go to the concentration camps. Yeah,
towards the light.
Yeah, walk towards the light, and then it's just a big cliff.
Exactly.
Idiots.
So he's reversing the time gate, and it's everything's starting to implode, and here's Louise and Bill and Sherman, and she's... getting everybody through the light. Follow the light.
So is
follow
Bill.
The light. And Bill's helping. Follow the light.
Yeah,
Bill
come on. You
what's
can
going
go.
On, but Bill's, the light. Bill's helping.
And he's like, yeah, just, follow the light.
Go.
Follow the light. Do what he
follow
says. Do what he says.
I wrote a song about this. Follow the light. Follow the light.
So they get up there, and now they're looking. They're looking at the
light.
The light.
The light.
And Bill's standing in front of the light, and he's like, come with me. She's like, no, we can't go through there. I'm like, what the fuck?
And then Sherman, who alternates between, like, bloodshot, drunk eyes, and just, like, normal eyes, and drunken eyes. And he's like, you must go with him. You are carrying his seed.
She's
pregnant, which is like the huge reveal that's right.
You will have his child.
That's so dull in this that you don't even really, child. You don't care.
And Dustin, you know how that happened, right?
Sex. Unprotected sex.
But now, wait a minute. So that's a thing. So. because it feels better.
Sax.
So how does she get pregnant though? If she keeps going back and forth, she doesn't even remember it.
Doesn't
the sperm get like time vacuumed out of her?
Time vacuumed out. Yeah. Housekeeping doubt.
Temporal abortion.
Oh dear. Well,
now see that would have made for more interesting Star Trek Enterprise episodes.
Well, that's all she needed to know that she was carrying his child. So they take off.
Right, and then Sherman, you should come with us. No, there is no place for me. Yeah, sure there is. Chuck E. Cheese robot.
Fuck. Hang on. And the best part.
What's that?
Sherman the robot quotes Winston Churchill.
Ugh.
This is not the end. This is not the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning.
The end of the beginning.
It's the end of the movie.
Thank God.
We
shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds.
Jesus.
We shall fight in the hills. And in the streets.
And in the streets.
We shall never surrender.
So. And then we'll play a really gay ending credit song.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was so bad. And then, you know, like... and then what? That's it? They have a good life?
Well, hold on.
Now, we don't have more now, sex in hotel rooms?
Future.
Does he quit? Does he quit like being married to plane crashes?
Yeah, right.
That's the real question.
Now, hang on, guys. I'm going to hit you with this one.
Whoa.
Ready?
Okay.
Alternate endings.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
The original North American theatrical and VHS release of the film features a close-up of Sherman as the gate explodes, followed by a shot of the sun rising over clouds, and then followed by a terrible ending credit song. The international theatrical release features a much wider shot of the gate's explosion, okay, followed by a wormhole time portal effect.
Oh.
The scene then dissolves into an underwater shot of the two main characters swimming from above, followed by a view of the characters in a nude, Eden-esque embrace.
No. Oh, God. Well, you see a very quick shot of that in the trailer. They're, like, in the water.
Well, that's your ending, Dustin. That'll help you.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know, man.
We have trouble with time travel movies.
I just have trouble with this time travel movie, to be quite honest. I mean, I was able to follow Back to the Future pretty well. It's pretty, you know.
You have trouble with Kris Kristofferson.
I really do. Yeah. I really do. I have a problem with any singer turned actor generally. Like, I don't think you should mix genres at all.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't. Ugh.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, you can name a couple of other ones.
Well, Kris Kristofferson's terrible.
Oh, God. I mean, I know we made a joke about Eye for an Eye being a Lifetime movie, but this really seemed like a Lifetime movie for time travel.
Really?
Oh, sci-fi. Oh, yeah. This would be a bad sci-fi movie.
Yeah. It is bad.
Horrid.
Some of them, I mean, I can't believe that they were cast. Why? I think the one who had the most acting talent in here was the guy I was ripping on, the tub of butter guy. I really do. And he had a horrible Canadian accent, but I thought he was...
Maury something?
Yeah, Maury Kovich or Maury Povich. You are not the father.
Maury Chaykin.
Yeah, I thought he was the best thing that this thing had to offer in terms of acting talent.
Well, Robert Joy is Sherman the Robot. What about him?
Oh, good.
Oh, Joy.
Sure he did.
Played Madonna's punk musician boyfriend in Desperately Seeking Susan.
Oh, and then he
Susan.
Appeared in The Fallen with John Goodman.
Oh, that's a winning game.
All right, well, that's plot. Hopefully you can follow it, Upchuckers. No.
There's so much in there that we just glossed over that you basically just get the general gist of it.
Not really.
All right. Well, here's the thing, right? So Rotten Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes pretty much lampoons it, right? Is shit.
As of July 2014, film holds a 13% rating on review aggregator Rotten Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Okay, good.
Oh, Tomatoes.
Yeah, but IMDb gave it a 5.7 out of a 10.
Oh, of course it did.
So that's not too bad. That's like 13 Ghosts kind of rating right there.
Well, then you should watch it again.
Yeah, there you go. It all comes back to 13 Ghosts, but you don't.
You should wear it again, you sweater vest.
You better give it. You're going to have to give this a 2 now.
No.
No, you have to.
No.
You have to. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, by that logic.
I can't.
Oh, terrible.
I can't. I don't know what it is about sci-fi movies with me, but this is definite. It's another 5. It's in the ranks of The Astronaut's Wife. It's in the ranks of Ghosts of Mars. It's in the ranks of Alone in the Dark.
So that brings up an interesting question, then.
Yeah.
You don't like sci-fi. No, I mean, do you or don't
I
you?
I do.
Really?
But I don't know. Like, I like sci-fi that's easier to follow.
Okay, what's a good sci-fi movie that you like?
Well, I like Alien.
Okay, it's not really sci-fi. It's sort of, but, you know.
No, it's sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Like, I don't know, because it's not one of those genres I normally gravitate to.
Okay, fair enough.
But, I liked Lost in Space. I like that kind of stuff. Like
the movie?
No, the TV show.
Movie,
but like, you know, I like the idea of like that kind of space adventure stuff. But
okay.
This was a little too disjointed, underacted.
Disjointed.
I don't know. Like,
there are so many plot holes.
Well, that's the thing.
Because of time travel.
And I guarantee that there are people out there who just sit there and they eat it up and they can explain the whole thing. And they're like time travel junkies. And they're like, no, it follows the time travel rules perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, those.
Richard Dreyfuss wannabes. Yeah, I bet there's some guys out there who are like, oh, this is like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's the best thing ever. You know, it's like they're just sitting there and it's like, no. But no, I don't recommend this. It's a 5.
Wow.
It's an utter 5. There's no redeeming quality. Not even Cheryl Ladd's double-sided tape tits.
I'm winning so far.
Yeah. You did, man. You picked a good one.
Yeah.
Did I give Final Fantasy a 5 too? I think I did.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
That was in the same ranks of the acting in terms of the quality there. And that had big names.
Yeah.
This had Kris Kristofferson and Cheryl fucking Ladd.
Oh, yeah, she gets a fucking in the middle.
Yeah, well, you know, she was being fucked. She was having sex.
What?
What do you think?
It's garbage.
Tell me what you really think.
It's utter trash. Kris Kristofferson is terrible. I mean, he's just terrible. I mean, like, just... I mean, that's all it is. It's like, it's fucking... I'm trying to see if there's anything he's done that... Well, so he was in Blade.
Oh.
He's in Convoy.
He was in the Blade. I don't know that movie.
That's a good movie.
It's Caribbean Planet of the Apes, which was the Tim Burton remake.
Oh, yeah, that's great. He was in The Jacket with Adrian Brody.
Oh, another one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Dolphin Tale, too. Well,
he had
a
small part. Okay, I thought so. He had a small part in this really cool movie called Limbo.
Mm.
And I remember Limbo, John Sayles movie, 1999. I remember
David Strathairn.
Yeah. And it's about these. That's a really good movie, and he has a small part in that. That was a cool film. That was a really cool film. I saw that downtown at the Dipson. I was the only person in the theater, and I was like 17. It was really cool. And he was in Payback.
Woolly Boys was all right.
I didn't see that. He's in The Land Before Time 6.
Voice of Doc.
Now he was in Payback with Mel Gibson, which I really like. Mel Gibson, yeah. Payback's a fun movie. The Blade movies. Whatever.
He was Chief Handler in Fallout New Vegas.
Was he?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Powder Blue.
It's terrible. I mean, this guy has had a career that. Established people would be jealous of, and I just don't get it. I think he's terrible. I don't think he's a good-looking guy. I think his music sucks.
Looks like leather.
I think his acting sucks.
We played a little bit of his most famous song, which was...
Yeah, we did once, and that's it.
That was horrible.
No. Terrible.
It's a 5.
That's horrible.
It's 5.
That's awful.
It's a sweeper, man.
What are you giving it, Aaron?
Oh, it's garbage. I mean, this doesn't even rate. This movie was so bad, it doesn't even rate.
You gotta give it a number.
No, it doesn't rate.
Really?
It's that bad.
Wow.
It's awful. It's terrible.
That's unrateable?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I've said that at least 2 other times. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do.
I kind of do, too.
Awful. Just abysmal. Deplorable.
Yeah, it was not good.
No, it's...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. I'm going to give it a 3.
No. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It really is. It's funny. We laughed a lot.
Yeah, but we laughed to be at fair, it, though. Yeah, we laughed yeah, at yeah, it. It wasn't not. There was no joke.
No.
But isn't that the point though? I mean, we laughed at it.
Yeah.
No, not the point.
Nothing.
No, just give it your 3 and move on. All right. I know you're stalling. You're stalling because you like it and you want to give it a good. I know you. I know you too well.
I can't give it a 3 though.
Don't do that. All right.
No, I'll give.
Here we go.
3.5.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 4.
Oh, all right.
Under peer pressure.
That's redeemable.
No,
4 is redeemable.
I wouldn't give it a 3. It's not anywhere near a 3. I can't give it a 5 because
Where's the point of redemption
going
to?
Because I kind of like sci-fi movies. Because there's parts of this movie that like kind of intrigue me. In the very beginning, when they're talking about, like when he says, when they're going through the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And the parts that kind of piqued my curiosity, where I was like, oh, okay, that's cool, where it was when they were playing back the cockpit recorder.
Yeah.
And the guy saying they're all dead.
Right.
But the plane hadn't crashed yet.
Right, right. Yeah.
That kind of like, ooh, that's neat. All right, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And then the part where he shows them the watches. And they got the digital watches, yeah, and he has the mechanical watches.
Yeah,
and all the digitals. Casios. All the digital are going backwards.
Stopwatches.
So yeah. That kind of like says you, all right, well, something's kind of happening here. What's going on? Now, the big reveal as to what's happening is poorly executed, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I was really expecting that to be a lot better. And the whole future scenes were terrible. And a lot of the future wasn't explained. And a lot of what was happening wasn't explained. And
yeah.
So it fails on, like, multiple levels.
I mean... The lady with the face was kind of cool. Like, the...
Oh, the stretchy face?
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, but, the movie fails in multiple places.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things in the premise that are like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. Like, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping that it would, like, stay through that, like, that sense of mystery, like, well, what's actually happening? And then right. It just falls apart. And
if there was a better, if there was a better payoff at the end, I think I'd be okay with that.
And that's the thing, there was no payoff.
There was no payoff.
There was nothing.
She's having his kid. Good.
And let's, be honest, I mean, the whole problem with time travel movies, I mean, modern... You know, understanding of quantum physics,
mm-hmm.
and modern understanding of general relativity says that time travel is impossible.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, and this movie is a prime example, as silly as it sounds, but the whole paradox thing.
Right.
Where, like, if you do go back and you try to change something, you're going to end up screwing something up in the future. You know, it just doesn't work. And the problem with these paradoxical movies, like, you could even go to, like, the Terminator and stuff like that and break it down and be like, oh, well, then if he never went back in the first place, you know, how'd the arm get there, blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
So they don't really work. For me, time travel sometimes is a very terrible plot device.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it works and sometimes it's interesting, but as a whole, it's a terrible plot device.
Yeah.
You know?
And
it's hard to make it work. I don't think there's, like, any really been a time travel movie that is actually good, that has a good plot device that you say, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
You know, maybe the Back to the Future, but those are different. But, yeah. No, I'll give it a 4.
Yeah.
Just because.
Okay. All right.
It's a little interesting.
No, that's okay.
But it's terrible, though.
I would be okay with never watching another... another
every one of my picks again.
No. I would just be okay with trying to steer clear of science fiction. But, no, that's not going to happen because that's usually where we find our clunkers. I mean, it's been...
We've done a lot.
Well, I mean, with Astronaut's Wife, with Ghosts of Mars, with this, and
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, they've been all terrible.
Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, Alone in the Dark, more horror for me, though.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess. But garbage.
Yeah,
garbage.
Garbage
yeah.
for garbage. Me.
Has Uwe Boll done any, like, straight science fictions? Because I would love to hear.
Well, we got to do House of the Dead.
We have to do House of the Dead.
So that's there's another video game movie that we're just going to rip apart.
Oh, well.
Rampage, Assault on Wall Street, Darfur, Stoic.
I'm sorry, what?
Darfur. Blood Rain 2, Blood Rain the Third Reich. Blood Rain the Third Reich, House of the Dead, Far Cry.
Dungeon
Seed.
Far Cry, yeah.
In September 2010, the trailer for Boll's film titled Auschwitz about the concentration camp was posted on YouTube.
Of course. What?
The trailer in which Boll appears as an SS gas chamber guard contains contains explicit scenes of the brutalization.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Boll has been quoted as saying that films such as Schindler's List no longer had the ability to reach young people, and it was his duty as a German to make the way... Ooh, boy.
Ooh, boy.
To make the film as a way of confronting the past.
Oh, dear.
There's also a documentary on Uwe Boll titled Raging Boll.
Oh, God.
That's fantastic.
Oh, we're watching that.
Ooh, pupil.
Raging Boll? We're watching that.
Raging Boll.
Did that actually come out? It did. His movie, Auschwitz, came out.
A German drama film.
Attempts to depict the harsh reality of the process inside the Auschwitz concentration camp by using brutal imagery.
Jesus.
Bookended by documentary footage.
Yeah, all right.
A number of critics boycotted the release for being too gruesome.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Is that on Blu-ray?
We'll find that.
I don't know.
Yeah, right next to the Millennium Blu-ray? On Blu-ray? Yeah, right next to that. Millennium Blu-ray. Yeah.
Wow.
I called that, too. Yeah. Told you it'd be on Blu-ray.
Why not?
Blu-ray.
Oh, come on. Not again. Yeah, no, I guarantee that there are... There are fanboys of this film out there that just worship this shit for the
every
for
shot, realism. Every scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh God,
Cheryl Ed, Neck Lovers Club. I mean,
yeah, Vibrations.
Yeah, if you like that,
if you like Vibrations, this is the movie for you. All right, so yeah, that's good, man. I have nothing more to say.
Tell
on this.
Tell them what we've done.
Yeah, it's hey, if you want to waste an hour and 48 minutes of your time and watch this, just watch some sex instead.
Sex.
Real sex.
Watch, like, British porn.
Watch British porn. Just kind of save yourself the trouble.
Almost.
There we are.
All right, folks. We'll catch you on the next one. Hopefully a guest again soon. We're looking into it.
Yeah, in the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in very near
and
future.
And we've had guests in the past.
In the past.
So,
sex.
Penis.
With
and
guests.
And vaginas.
Sex with guests.
Sex with guests.
And sex with guests. And Dustin with sweater vests.
All right,
that's enough. All goodbye.
Right, bye.
Ugh.
Thanks for listening to the Upchuck Theater Podcast. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Or go right to our home at upchucktheater.podbean.com/feed and subscribe. Or upchucktheater.com. Until next time, keep the Ipecac handy and the movie viewing nonsense to a minimum.